Last episode, the Musafirs were nearly crushed to death by a chandelier and found out more about the tragic tale of the Haveli's residence. As they rest for the evening, what tales unfold? You're listening to The Musafirs. Starring Ajay Bande as Anika.
Does nobody have conjuration magic?
Amr Amaraz as Adhuri.
And in this moment, Adhila empathized with Adore.
Jabari Weathers as Adila.
You know that I'm right.
Leona Maple as Aditi.
Terrified and very much like, oh, I hear it too, sort of look.
And Maria Mamad as the GM. Those are just like bones. I mean, they're not gonna do anything at all. Hi, you're listening to The Musafirs, a bi-weekly decolonized D&D 5e actual play podcast. The Musafirs is now part of Welcome to the Party podcast channel on Podbean. Welcome to the Party is dedicated to creating an inclusive and equitable gaming community where folks can come and learn how to stream or play games on stream, and then give them the place to do it. If you would like to support us and Welcome to the Party, join their Patreon. You'll get interviews with players, mods, and DMs, behind-the-scenes look at games from arts to notes, and you'll help underwrite amazing writers, artists, and creators from across the gamingverse and help create a place to showcase their amazing work. Their Patreon link can be found in the show notes.
Have we found a wheel for the wagon?
As you get back, you see that Gorogoli has actually made very good time and has jury-rigged a wheel from some of her innate magic that she has. However, she looks really tapped out and she's already lying down face first in the cart and is like done for the day. So there is a working wheel, but it is late enough in the day that they don't feel like they want to proceed forward and they won't make it to their next campsite in the forest, and they don't want to necessarily be trying to get to that campsite in the forest so late. So they will spend another day and night in the camp, which is why I'm saying it's more like a downtime at this point. This is how we're going to handle it. So if there's any RP you want to do, you can certainly do that. If you want to spend time identifying those items, you can. I just need to know who's identifying what.
Anika knows magic, so she can do the identifying.
Usually the way it works is you get to identify one item per short or long rest per person. So if you want all of them identified, each person basically takes an object.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that. That sounds good.
I was going to say, Adhuri has a vested interest in the goat statues for more reasons than just the door, so I think they would like to help Aditi out with that.
Anika will take whatever.
The kunguru is basically, even though they're two pieces, they're identified as one item, and the goats can be identified separately.
Okay, wait, so what... what delineates the two goats?
One is slightly smaller than the other.
I'll take the smaller one if nobody has objections to it. As I kind of meditate on the creepy shit that we saw just a little while ago, I'm like holding this little like goat statuette.
Who's taking the bigger goat?
Yeah, I can take it.
Okay. Who's taking the gunguru?
Anika will take it.
So Anika, I'm gonna base this in private message. So this is what you find about the gunguru. And Adhuri, you flip over the bigger goat, and as you focus trying to figure out what the runes and etchings are, you realize that the bigger goat says Bully.
Bully, okay. So I think what this looks like as Adhuri is examining the statue and like idly moving it with one hand while strumming on their sarangi with their other hand, just like idly humming a tune and mumbling words. And it's a very like soft and quiet tune, very morose and blending into the night. And as they mumble words in the middle, they read out loud Bali and continue on.
And as you do, you realize that this is a figurine of wonders power as the DMG, and it is a Goat of Travail. I have modified it a little. If you choose to activate it, and we'll deal with it if that's the thing. And Thilla.
Yeah.
As you are also examining it, you figure out, especially as a bard and a caster, it takes you a little less time than a Dhuri, but you figure out that the runes that are there says Bukra.
Bukra. Hmm. I kind of whisper it under my breath, conspiratorially. I'm just like, Bukra.
And you know that this is also a figurine of wondrous power, and it is the Goat of Terror.
Awesome. I love the name of that.
I'm not giving both of you the stats for it yet, because as I said, I am taking that as a template, but I'm going to modify it. If you decide to use it within this session, we'll figure it out, but you realize that this is a wondrous item, and those are the runes. Those are the command words to activate it. By saying it out aloud or by saying it, you haven't activated it. You just know that that's the phrase you need to activate them.
I see. Does it resonate with like a chill or some kind of...
The runes glow, but they don't glow bright enough to activate it.
Cool. I kind of nod and shudder, thinking about maybe what kind of trouble may be facing us and how this could be a useful tool. And I tuck it away.
A bit later, once Athuri figures it out, they come back towards, like, looking for Attila, strumming more on their sarangi and improvising a tune to the, like, effect of the story that we heard of Bali and Bukra earlier. And that's what they're doing as they walk back.
Listening to the tune, I just shoot Athuri this, like, a little bit, like, foreboding look. And I reach for my Sursingar and sort of half-heartedly pluck away, maybe like try to harmonize a little bit, but yeah, I'm a little freaked out.
Fair.
Do any of you share the information of what these items are with each other?
For once, Annika lets Adela and Dori finish their tune. And once their song finishes, she holds up the Ganguru and says, I think I know what gave you that thrall.
I'm only yes.
All right. So this here, if you dance good, it will draw the eye of anyone's watching and put them in a kind of trance. And if you really want, you can make people do what you like. But you gotta dance good. You can take it if you want. I have no use for this.
Adhila looks up at Annika and just kind of... She takes the Goat of Terror out and it's just like, I think this is more your speed. I'll trade you. I'm a decent dancer.
Sure, I'll take it.
Yeah, and I exchange. As far as I can tell, that will turn into a large goat with weapons for horns.
So technically, either you or Athuri can wear it, because I believe Athuri is proficient with performance.
But I want nothing to do with that. When Annika offers it up, Athuri has kind of a look of horror mixed with no thank you on their face.
Don't worry, I'll be responsible. I tie them at my side with a sash.
You know what the runes say on here?
It said Bukra, like the story.
And this one said Bali.
Like those Rakshasa. That is very interesting. Adora, you probably know this story. Was there any account of one of them being a dancer?
Athuri thinks for a minute. I think, so this is the story of Bali and Bukra, right? We established last time that I have never heard the story before, correct?
And if you wanted any more information, you should probably ask the person who you heard the story from the first time.
Yeah, exactly. So Athuri is going to try to rack their brain, like, with this specific focus, like, stories of dancers, maybe if I filter those together, and then they shake their heads. No, honestly, as painful as this might be to say, this was the first time I heard that story. But we do know where the story came from. And Athuri kind of turns themselves towards where they assume we'd be able to get more information.
I believe you were pointing towards Fakir Chand. I assume you want to go ask them some questions?
Mm-hmm. If the group is following, I think we need some answers.
Yeah. You're the only person that makes sense to ask.
Annika will eavesdrop.
I figured you were going to say.
So Fakirchand is just sitting down and essentially chewing on some pan and sort of having some after-dinner things. The equivalent of, like, thin mints or something, but it's pan. And is sort of thoughtfully chewing on it and staring at the fire. Doesn't seem to be engaged in anything important as you approach.
Master Fakirchand.
Yes.
We have some questions for you.
Yes.
Is there any more of what he's indulging in, by the way?
And you see his teeth is bright red at this point as he speaks. And he says, you want one? And hands you. You notice that there's these very neat little triangular parcels of pan, which is
good shit.
It is good shit.
And it is a bit leaf. It's filled with something. Do you take one?
Yeah, I make sure to use the hand that hasn't been, like, wrapped at this point, so that I don't get maybe spices in it, because that would suck. But I take it.
You've seen it before. You know what it is.
Yeah.
Although for anyone curious, it's delicious, and it tastes like roses and stuff, so it's just, like, sweet and tasty and, yeah.
And floral and wonderful.
Yes.
Inside of it, you bite into it and it's filled with various seeds and nuts and flavorings. There's a bit of a crunch as you're starting to chew on it. And you taste fennel. And you taste it. Someone had candied them. So there's sugar on top of the fennel. There is betel nuts. And that's the crunchy bit that you really have to work at to chew. As you're chewing and, you know, your mouth opens a little as it was a pretty big thing, doesn't quite fit your mouth, everyone can see that your teeth, too, have been stained red.
Don't even care. In fact, like, whatever urgency was in my voice is replaced by just chewing sounds. I'm just waiting for someone to fill in.
And I think Adhuri, having seen you kind of distracted by food and recognizing, just goes,
we would like to ask you about a story you were telling earlier to your kids.
Yeah. Yep. Which story?
Thank you so much.
I believe it was...
Annika's rolling her eyes.
I just shoot Attila a look. I feel like outside, Annika, like, does a lap back and forth away from the hut, probably.
Yes.
It was the story of Bali and Bakra, I believe. I must say I was quite interested to hear a story that I had not heard of before, even in passing.
Good. I'm glad. What do you want to know?
I was wondering if there was more to the story to share, perhaps. Maybe details that wouldn't be more interesting to an audience of a wider variety than just children.
You mean sharks?
If that is the only other details you know, then perhaps. But maybe more... Well, there was already many elements of horror to your story. Perhaps there was others you removed to spare the children.
And now he's sort of chewing a little bit and thinking about it. Well... I mean, my father told me the story, as my grandmother did to my father, and as her mother told to my grandmother. This was what they said to me. Why do you ask?
Ituri kind of steps back and looks at Aditi and Adhila to see how much we want to share.
I raise my eyebrows at Aditi at this point, still chewing. I actually... Seeing Adhuri kind of, like, back up from taking point, Adhila very, very pronouncedly just... and, like, raises her eyebrows just to see, like, is anyone else gonna, like, talk about the fucked up shit that we saw? Because the story seems to go deeper.
And at this point, you see Fakirchand sort of is done chewing, puts his hand between his mouth in sort of a V, and then goes into a spittoon, which is the insides are stained very red and probably really old, and you don't know whether it's ever been cleaned.
Wow.
And offers you as you seem like you're ready to spit.
I'm not done yet.
And Tori just goes, she'll be a while.
Yeah, Aditi will take a shot. She kind of looks at Adri nervously because she's not sure how much to say. She'll go, well, we were kind of exploring, and I don't know. It just seemed like your story maybe had more to it. It just felt very familiar as we were exploring.
I'll quickly chime in. Adri will say, we found a lot of goat memorabilia and figured perhaps the story went further through time and there would be details that were skimmed away, as often happens with stories, but are worth preserving.
I mean, it could be a true tale, but I always thought it was just a tale my family told to make sure we behaved.
Okay, I mean, I've definitely heard stories like that were told so that I would behave. But then as I got older, some of the stories that I would hear, do you know what I mean, Fakirchand? Like when you're a kid and someone tells you a story and then you grow up and they tell you the same story, but this time they tell you more of the story.
He nods and says, I understand. This is very interesting if you found that this is actually true. I'm not sure I can help you per se, but you could either go to Koldak. I mean, they have records for everything, or, I mean, since you're coming with us, I'm sure Koldak's not really an option. You could see if there's a Vidyagar, which, you know, basically is like a scholar's guild or a library of sorts. You could see if there's a Vidyagar in Rajgarh, which, you know, is the next trading town that you'll be stopping in once you pass the forest, and it's located in Chabad. You are several days away. And just for sort of an information thing, once you clear Boroban, which is the name of this forest, you will be in Chabad. You no longer will be in Banga, and Rajgarh is the first port town on this route and on this road. So Fakirchand says, you could see if there's a Vidyagar. I mean, they would have maybe more details about such lores if they exist. Or they might know where you could get more information. I'm sorry, I'm not much help. I'm just repeating what has been handed down to me. I didn't even know this could actually be real.
Aturi puts on a plastered, reassuring smile. It's like, it's no concern at all. And it probably isn't real. Maybe just one of those tales that's older than we assume it is. Maybe before there was a tale that your family knew, it was more popular in an older time. We were just curious. Thank you for your time.
So, what else did you find in the house? I mean, we usually give it a wide berth, as it's inauspicious to go to abandoned places. We just go fill our water skins, and occasionally when someone wants to visit the temple and pay respects to Nagaraj, but for the most part, we just leave that whole area alone.
I mean, we were just exploring. We didn't go in the house.
Yes, and from what we heard, that keeping a wide berth sounds like a wise idea.
Bon? Any more bon? And takes a big one and stuffs it almost like a chipmunk initially before the chewing commences.
Aturi will take one out of politeness and walk out.
I spit into the spittoon politely, I kind of almost bring it close to my face and just place it down and just say thanks, pressing my palms together and hiding the wound.
You're welcome, anytime. Mm-hmm.
So after we leave and we start heading away,
Aturi is going to like take a small bite out of the pond to taste it, and then call after Attila. Hey, Attila, wait up. No, sorry, Jamari.
Attila had another pond.
Actually, no. So that's totally what's up. I may have taken a second one for later.
Yes. Well, so Aturi calls, just like, hey, Attila.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It looks like you're enjoying these. And hands over the, like, mostly intact fawn.
I just shoved the third one in my mouth.
Oh my god. That's amazing.
That's how you do.
Have a good night.
You too, Aturi.
Oh my god.
It's a surprisingly legible, like, send-off through that mouthful, as if I have a lot of practice talking through food.
I think he's actually going to go to Annika, because she's like, she's thinking, her gears are turning, and she's going to go, oh, that was a bust.
That happens.
I know, but this is really starting to bug me. It's just, I don't know, isn't it a little uncanny that Fakirjan told this story, and then we find these goats? Like, it's just, is it too much of a coincidence?
I mean, the story about these hills is that, you know, they're all the bodies of Rakshasa or something like that, so. Yeah. Coincidences happen. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm. I guess that's true. Oh, well, nothing much you can do about it till we get out of here.
Yeah.
Darn.
And odds are, it's not going to be anything in the end game.
I don't think so.
Fun little novelties. You know, cool items.
I think there's something to it, but we'll see.
There's something to everything. Just a matter of what you're willing to get yourself killed over.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, I am.
Is this conversation in earshot, by the way?
I'm sure it is.
Very visibly, as I finish chewing, I imagine that Adhila is, like, leaning on a tree or something, and she, like, kind of, like, slides just upward enough to catch Annika's eyes and, like, just kind of mouths, like, you are so morbid.
With red teeth.
And Annika, like, looks at Aditi, and Annika says, okay, look, I know you're ready to go do something big, and I see it in you. Someday, I'll give you this, someday, you're really going to find something you're willing to die over. It will happen. And it's going to be miserable. You're going to hate it, and it will hurt you beyond comprehension. But you're not going to be able to stop yourself. I could. And she just kind of walks away from the campfire and just kind of looks at that abandoned temple. And just kind of doesn't say anything.
Whoops. And I think he probably actually does say that out loud. And she's kind of just like, whoops, and kind of looks over at Bailu and is, you know, contemplative and goes, Maybe Annika has a point.
I'm going to actually approach Aditi, licking my lips and teeth. So, Aditi,
mm-hmm.
What were you hoping for? Annika shook you up.
From Fakirjan?
No. Well, yes, but the house.
I don't know. I guess I was just hoping for answers.
To what?
I don't know anymore. She's just like, so like, yeah, I don't know. It was a strange house. I guess I was just trying to figure out the puzzle.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Of course.
Have you lost someone recently?
Like, personally? I mean, other than, I have to check my notes. Hold on one moment.
You have to remember your lies.
Adela shrugs and like shakes her head like, yeah.
Where? Oh, hang on. Hold on just a moment while I pull up these notes.
Other than your family of elephants, no.
Other than my family of elephants. Why are we calling them elephants again? I forget.
It'll be relevant in episode 4.
I mean, yes, I know this. And she'll say to it, they'll, no, I haven't lost anyone. Not, like, to death. I just lost my home, so depends on what you're asking me, I guess.
Arms fold. When you say I haven't lost anyone to death. I mean, it sounds like you had a bit of a rough time with your family. Did they disown you?
Yes.
Why?
Because they didn't approve of me wanting to travel and explore.
They didn't just marry you off.
No, I wouldn't let them. So I would rather, I insisted I would rather be thrown out or run away. And so it was half being thrown out, half running away, depending on whose stance you're looking at.
Do you miss them?
I do, but I have the most important person, well, not person, but friend in the world with me, and that's Bailu, so it's okay.
What is Bailu doing in this conversation?
I imagine Bailu is just currently wrapped up in a very tight ball near the nearest fire and just sort of sleeping, but you think they're completely, like, knocked out, but you see that occasionally the ears twitching, like they're scanning. So they're asleep, eyes closed, but they're not asleep.
There's something like very provocative about this sudden movement, as Aditi is like, you know, I have the most important friend in the world. Like, Adhila like walks over and like sort of like playfully like kneels down next to Bailu and then lies back. Like using him like a like sofa and just like
And Bailu's eyes open, sort of turn to you, Adhila, blink like twice, and then just goes back to sleep.
Aww.
See, he's a good friend. She'll lean over and she'll give him like scritches behind the ears.
Eyes still closed, but the ears are sort of like, the ears basically tell you that They're not dead to the world.
Do you miss anyone else from your family?
No. I'm happier out here.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I'm free, of course. I'm not trapped in the life I was in. I get to actually see the world and see how other people think outside of Bunga. I can just, you know, whatever comes my way, I can experience it and maybe someday find a home elsewhere. But my life is mine now, and I get to choose. And I like that.
Adhila takes a deep breath. I want to see something weird.
And I think they kind of, like, her eyes widen a little bit, and she kind of leans in and goes, "What do you mean?" And that's like, she's almost like, yeah, like, come on, like.
There's this, like, embarrassed pallor that, like, casts over Adhila's face. And she pulls down her lower lip, and you can actually see, like, where the two, like, tusks would have grown in. But they're just, like, instead there's just, like, these two slants that have been, like, filed down just long enough for you to get a decent look. And you can see her brows, like, knit together in this, like, in this suddenly, like, really shy way. And she, like, lets go of her lip.
And Aditi just kind of smiles. What does that mean? I'm not too sure. I've encountered that.
My parents are strange. And they thought that if I was going to carry on with the family business, that I should have a bit more of a presentable guise. I still miss them. I only saw them a few weeks ago.
How do you feel about it?
About this? Hate it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry they did that to you. You deserve to live your truth.
Mm. It's all right. Confusing thing is, I mean, I don't remember when it happened.
That's hard.
Is it?
I mean, waking up and suddenly you're different. I don't know if I...
Oh, I was one, so I don't know if there was much of a difference.
Oh. Hmm.
But around town, it's more pronounced.
Mm-hmm. I honestly can't imagine. I know I'm, you know, a shopkeeper's daughter as well, but I honestly can't imagine.
Do you ever... I mean, my parents were merchants. Are merchants. What did your family sell?
Textiles and clothing. Saris, drapes, whatever sort of cloth or fabric you needed.
Oh, what were their names? I actually might know them.
Push it. Oh, no. Let's see. You're really, like, she's so fucked.
And, like, the way this question is asked, it's very innocently, like, ooh, a friend. Like,
aw, poor baby. Aww.
That's my favorite trope. Oh, I'm from that business. I know everyone there. Who do you work with?
Leonor, do you have names or?
And then it's like, oh fuck.
Is it visible on your face that you're struggling? Actually, you know what? You player can come up with a name, but I will say because perhaps you hadn't thought that far that would require deception versus insight to sort of be like, well, were you really thinking of this? Like, basically to see whether Adela sees your gears turn.
Yeah, because I feel like either these gears would turn. Like, she's not prepared for this. Damn it.
And we'll say that you come up with some names, just whatever first spits out, but it will still be a deception versus insight, unless Adela, you're sort of like, you take everything as gospel. It doesn't matter.
I mean, I'm a pretty socially attuned person, so even in a conversation, as much as I'd like to take everything as gospel, like, I can't. I'm just too attentive, talking to people generally, so.
Too smart.
I'm good with this.
Okay, so Adela, give me an insight, and Aditi, give me a deception.
Oh dear.
Remember, you all had inspiration from last time.
I'm gonna just wait for your number, because...
12.
Sure you don't want to use that insight? Got a 21.
Oh no. Oh shit. I don't know if that inspiration would have saved me.
I will give you a couple of prompts. You feel free to use them or do whatever you want. Adithi pauses. You definitely see gears turning in her head, and you find it odd.
I mean, not that their names matter anymore, but my dad is...
Perhaps I could speak with them, you know, vouch for them spreading the name of the family business.
No. Adela, no. I appreciate that, but no. I don't want to speak to them. Do you understand? That wasn't a good place or a good time for me. I'm happy out here.
Sure.
But fine, if you want to know their names, my father's name is Madhu Gopala, and my mother's name is Radha Gopala.
Said exactly like that.
Pretty much.
So that would make you Aditi Gopala.
Yes.
Unless have you abandoned that name?
I have.
Where are they based? Just so I know where to avoid.
In Bunga, in Koldak, in the market furthest west.
Funny, I haven't heard of them. It must be very exclusive.
I think so. I didn't pay much attention to the business.
Makes sense.
Did you visit the western market very much?
Frequently, but I meddled more with food, despite my mother's protests.
Well, food is an excellent thing to meddle with.
Indeed. I write about it.
You do?
I pull out a journal from a rucksack, and it has notes from the beginning of the journey.
Just as a quick side note, just so you all are aware of technology-wise, broadsheets are available, printing presses are a thing, so there you would have published.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And Aditi will just kind of, like, her eyes are wide in delight, and she's fascinated, and she goes, May I take a look?
Sure. It's not edited yet, but...
Oh, that doesn't matter. This is so amazing. And she'll just, like, eagerly, like, flip through, and she's, like, you know, skimming the pages and reading little bits, and she'll go, this is so great, Adela.
Adela rubs the mole on her forehead. She's just like, thanks. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more before I... get this nice and squared away, but...
Well, I can't wait to see it when it's done.
Well, if you see any good food on our travels, make sure to let me know.
I will.
I should probably sleep, but much as I'd hate to leave this fine pillow, and I very affectionately pet Bailu...
Then take first watch!
yes, we will get to that in a moment.
Just the random voice of her, like, interjecting.
As you sort of are getting up, you don't hear it so much as feel it, but Bailu's purring, but it's like all body vibration rather than any audible burr.
Aw, so cute.
I don't get up. That feels awesome. And...
I mean, Aditi's not going to kick you out. She's going to be like, you're welcome to stay. If you're comfortable, I'm not going to make you move.
I'll be right back. reluctantly, I go and grab my Sursingar and kind of awkwardly, like, haul this gigantic stringed instrument into your space, and kind of, like, worm my way back onto Bailu, and I start plucking the sleepy tune.
At this point, you notice Bailu has actually unfurled so that there's more leaning space.
I love this cat.
I love this cat so much.
Take first watch then. I want to stay there.
Are we doing watches again? Or I know Annika, I guess, is now doing first watch.
Cool. I'm down to take second.
I'll take the morning shift, I guess.
While everyone else sleeps, Annika half watches and half looks at Pailu, who I presume is kind of just like snuggled up next to someone. And just thinking about, you know, this panther who is both friend and family and travel companion, and that's just kind of ruminating through her mind. However, one thing, when Annika wakes up, Adhila, she says, your turn. And Adhila will notice that Annika's eyes are weirdly bloodshot. Like, she's been crying.
Oh, right. I stand up, drag up the Sursingar with by its neck and, like, kind of swing it into my arms. And then I, like, swing it back down very quietly. Are you all... Let's go talk.
No.
Yes.
And she just kind of, like, rests her head and tries to go to sleep.
When you do that, Adhila stoops over you and, once again, rather provocatively says, you've already been crying. What else are you afraid of?
Not talking about it.
Why?
Not talking about it.
I start plucking these notes, and I, like, lean down. Or actually, I, like, cross my legs and sit down, because the Sursingar is heavy. and I'm tired. And I just, kind of leaning toward Annika, I'm like,
You've got something you want to say, but you won't anyway. How long will those tears wash away your thoughts for no one else to see? Do you want to talk now, or just put me in the ground? But what would that fix anyway? I know you're annoyed, but relief is one word away. And my ears here to stay. So why don't you talk to me?
Annika gets up and, like, walks to the side of the camp.
Adhila, like, is a little startled by just, like, that sudden exit.
Seems I've made a mistake.
I don't follow. I just leave her alone.
Good.
Aditi, when you do your watch, you notice the same thing Annika described the previous night. You, at some point, are staring out at the lake, and you see this pinpoint of light from below the waters. And slowly, over the next few minutes, as you're almost enthralled and, like, and curious as to what's going on, this is, like, a kilometer away, so it's very much very pinpoint, very small. The pinpoint of light starts to get closer to the surface of the water. It breaks through, and now is about, you think, probably 4 feet off the ground as it's going up the steps to the temple. And then you can't really make out the light as it goes behind some sort of pillar or statue or something and disappears.
When Aditi sees it come out of the water, she gasps and she kind of looks around a little nervously. And she just kind of mumbles to herself, I better mention that in the morning.
Do you just watch, or do you want to go investigate it?
Oh, I want to go investigate it so bad, but I don't want to do it at night. Oh, that's so dangerous. Aditi and I are in agreement that we would want to do it in the morning, because Aditi is not that stupid. She's very cautious, right? Like, the last thing she needs is to get eaten alive, because she's actually got places to be afterwards.
But what if she misses it?
Yeah, so she would just make a note, and she would want to, like, tell them in the morning so that we can investigate in the morning.
As you stare at it and are half torn, I imagine, between wanting to go and see it and knowing not to do it now, after about half an hour of sort of staring in that area, the light again travels and goes down the steps and disappears underwater until, as dawn emerges, the light just winks out.
I will say that Aturi did not fall asleep this night. They've been in their shed writing and, like, mumbling / singing under their breath to themselves, so you might catch that on watch.
Perfect. So Aditi is gonna go find Aturi. She's gonna go, Aturi, are you awake?
I tried to sleep, but I couldn't. What's up?
I'm so sorry. Did I disturb you?
No, I've been just writing. It's fine.
Oh, okay. I wanted to tell you that I'm taking Bailu hunting, but before that, I saw something come out of the lake. I saw, like, a light, and it came out of the lake, and it, like, walked up the steps of the temple. And then a while later, it went back into the lake. It came down the steps again and went back into the lake. Aturi, it was the strangest thing I've ever seen.
I mean, Anaka saw the same thing, so I believe you.
Okay, I just wanted to tell someone. I don't know. I don't think I believed Anaka, and seeing it for myself kind of spooked me. Thank you. We'll be back soon.
Hey, Aditi?
Yeah?
Whatever you choose to do out there,
yeah?
Stay safe.
I will. I promise.
I hope your hunt leads to whatever you're really looking for.
Thank you. And she'll, like, pull out her bow, and you can kind of see her, like, have it in her hands, and she'll just kind of walk off that way.
And, like, a couple seconds after you walk out, the humming and, like, pencil tapping continues. I think at that point, Aturi looks outside and realizes, oh, it's morning. Oh.
What will happen next? Find out in our next episode. If you enjoyed listening to our show and want to follow us on social media, check out our Facebook, Twitter, and Discord links within the show notes. You can also subscribe to this podcast on our website, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Pocket Cast, and all your favorite podcast platforms. Don't forget to leave a rating or review for us. We appreciate all the feedback, and it helps make us more visible. Thank you, and goodbye.